Welcome to the start of our brand new podcast with me, Cara Burrell.
And myself, Ryan Fisher.
Committed. What?
What?
The more things that keep coming out from the lawsuits, the more time goes on, the more supporters he loses, the more deranged he's kind of gotten. And he went on this interview with this guy, Troy, on Last Dispensation. And on the left is the original thumbnail. And we made sure to watch it, grab it off the internet before we said, oh my gosh, I don't know. I felt like he was kind of drunk, to be honest, on
It
this
seems
video
like
clip.
you wouldn't say the kind of things you'd said on this without some sort of influence of some, but we don't
Yep, so he's the most unhinged. I wasn't surprised that within a few
know.
hours, Last Dispensation said that the attorneys have told them to take it down. So, without further ado, we're going to jump into some clips that have to relate to the brand new evidence from his executive assistant, Celeste Boris, that there was some DNA of Tim's that was found on her skirt that matched up to his. So, we're going to talk about that and what his defense is. You're going to want to hear what his defense of this is. Live reacts from Ryan. Me, I'm just like, get a load of this. All right. So this is kind of right where he jumps off into this interview. He says that he just finished some type of operation, apparently in Mexico. We'll get into that in other clips. But he's kind of red in the face wearing an aerial recovery hat.
Explaining to people like the Blaze, my good friend Glenn Beck, who clearly wants to be so fair. Okay, I don't know how much he has to do with in the headlines that Tim Ballard's DNA, according to the court document. I was trying to make something clear that you made clear before. I could say that you were being dogs in your backyard, and I could submit to the court, and I could call that a court document. So the headline says, according to court documents, Tim's DNA is all over the skirt. So it sounds so official. And then, no one bothers to explain to people. Anyone can make up a court document.
Wow. Yeah, anybody can make up a court document, but that court document is provided along with the corpses of a multiple dead dogs, using his analogy, dropped off at the courthouse. And those claims that his sperm DNA matched to him was found on Celeste's skirt, what came from not just some rando claiming this, that was the Utah Crime Investigation Lab.
All right, well, let's get into the article. Utah crime lab found Tim Ballard's sperm on his assistant's skirt, plaintiff says. Court documents that he's talking about where he's like, you can't possibly just he, people can claim anything in a court document. You just say like, we found his DNA. Are you acting stupid like you didn't submit a sperm sample? Like you didn't you're saying you didn't submit a sample? He's just like, that's just what they said. So it says plaintiff has provided this skirt. They're talking about Celeste, his former executive assistant, who is another one of my heroes. I gotta meet, hug her, love her so much. She has a whole story that is hers to tell one day when she feels like telling it, of how this semen ended up on the skirt. But it says that she provided the skirt to the Utah County detective who is participating in the criminal investigation of Timothy Ballard several months ago. The Utah County detective verified that the skirt had semen on it. Plaintiff Michael Boris's DNA, her husband, was tested, which came back negative. It is believed that a search warrant was obtained and Timothy Ballard provided a DNA sample. Approximately 2 weeks ago, the Utah County detective verified to plaintiffs that the DNA was a 100% match of Ballard's DNA.
So he went through the process of providing DNA sample, however that looks. So he's fully aware of all the facts in this case and has worked with law enforcement to provide the DNA, and still makes the claim that somebody just made this up. You can make up anything you want and put it on a court document and submit it.
That's his defense, all right?
Wow.
And then goes on to say that as a sex assault victim, plaintiff believes she is entitled to the results. However, law enforcement has declined to provide Ms. Boris the test results for the time being as there's a pending criminal investigation. And then as well, it says, at the same time, Ballard has released social media posts raging about having a cache of arms and shooting people in vital organs, causing plaintiff great fear given that she has been assaulted multiple times by Ballard. Now, have you heard that one?
Even just posturing as a violent person, that doesn't help. his public perception, you know, like where are his lawyers on this one?
Where are his lawyers on this entire thing? All they did was just take it down, basically. The one thing that I just want to clarify as we keep playing is he's saying that there's just these court documents that they don't mean anything. And I could get into this more another time, but basically it looks like the DNA has been confirmed by the Utah County Crime Lab, but whether or not she's allowed to use it in the trial is what the red tape is looking right now. And Adam Herbert has done some great reporting at trying to get these documents and show them. And apparently there's some cahoots between religious figures in Utah and law enforcement.
Well, that would be shocked. Yeah, evidence of the theocracy. And I did an interview recently with New York Times, and that's something that I think needs to be illuminated, is that you may not believe that there's an actual theocracy where there's a religious leader that's king over Utah and everything, but in practice, that's how it operates in many, many ways, shapes, and forms. And one of them is Tim has conflated attacking him with attacking the church.
If you thought that him denying how DNA works is bad, he also has a lot of lies around the court cases and what's actually happening. So let's watch this and respond to it.
Like I said, they've lost every battle in court so far. Three, I think we have a few more dismissals. And not only are they getting dismissed, but two of them have to pay.
What does that tell you, folks? What does that tell you?
The judge has ordered the women to pay me and to pay OUR because the lies were that bad. And that's going to continue.
The judge said the lies are so bad. He just is like, I don't know what all this gabbly garbage is. I just want a fist bump with Tim Ballard. I know you're an innocent guy. And he threw him out, and then they went for a non-alcoholic beer.
The lawsuits that are important have not been dismissed. The lawsuit of Celeste versus Tim Ballard, OUR, and Catherine Ballard was also named on that, is not been dismissed. What has happened is Catherine Ballard was dismissed from the lawsuit. The judge ruled that, my understanding is he ruled that she is not a party and defendant, should not be a defendant in this lawsuit that is primarily against OUR and Tim. So she was dismissed from that, but that doesn't mean the lawsuit went away. And as part of the, and I'm not a lawyer, so the layman explanation that was explained to me is that when the court was coming up with, and the judge, how these proceedings are going to go, Catherine, after she got dismissed, she was asking for $100,000 of legal expenses to be paid because she had to pay lawyers to get herself dismissed from this case. And the judge said, nope, we're not doing that, but I'll grant you $20,000 of legal fees once the case is concluded, once the trial is completely concluded. Now, we're talking about a lawsuit that I don't know the figure of what the plaintiffs are trying to get in damages, but let's say it's $500,000. If once it's concluded and if the women win, then they will have to pay $20,000 of Catherine Ballard's legal fees, according to the agreement. And this was probably done by the lawyers. Just, they could have fought this and they probably could have got a different ruling if they put up a case, but allowing $20,000 of legal fees to get be paid once the trial concludes is a small price to pay to just move it forward. Mm-hmm. They want this to go to trial. The women want this to go to trial, from my understanding, and that's where we'll find the truth. So that small part with Catherine Ballard was dismissed. He says that the women will have to pay me and OUR money in retribution for this, and that's absolutely, couldn't be more false. Mm-hmm. If Tim, by some miracle, wins this trial, then that $20,000 in legal fees would go to Catherine. Tim and OUR wouldn't have no claim on any of that money. So what he's telling you is absolutely false. It's misleading. and it's not supported by court documents that anybody can go and find and read. And you don't have to do that. We'll do that for you. We'll sort through this BS. And so, yeah, completely made up stuff.
Yeah. And then in terms of where he says that we're just like getting cases dismissed all the time. The judges are just throwing them out. They're being laughed out of court. Is there any truth to the cases being dismissed, or what is the action items now moving forward?
Yeah, my understanding is that cases are filed in certain jurisdictions and in certain ways. And then as the legal process grinds through, they are determined that it would be beneficial to file it in a different way. And so in order to do that, you dismiss one and then you refile it.
Not only are they getting dismissed, but two of them have to pay.
What does that tell you, folks? What does that tell you?
The judge has ordered the women to pay me and to pay OUR because the lies were that bad. And that's going to continue to happen. My prediction is that these girls are going to turn on their attorneys and say, you promised us nothing. And instead, they're losing everything. Because there's a lot of lawsuits that are about to get. We're sitting back. Lawsuits are coming. And there's going to be a lot of them. All of them. Sasha, this other one, Toilette.
Why did he think that he could name these women and his lawyers would be like, yeah, absolutely, go on a live stream with a guy.
Berate them publicly.
And name them, completely speak utter lies about the proceedings of the court cases and what they're alleging against you. Alleged like sexual assaulter and rapist of them. Definitely smear their names and say their names as much as possible. We're gonna leave that up on the internet we'll give you 1 hour to keep it up on the internet, Tim, but that's about it. How did he think that this was gonna go?
I just can't believe that he thinks this is going to help him in any way, shape, or form. But again, it just speaks to, I think, him as a character, as a person, that he cannot remain silent. It's probably built this narrative on these kind of claims. And when you see people dropping off your bandwagon, you got to reinforce those claims, make additional claims, and also up the ante a little bit. And that's what this video seems to be all about.
Right. It's literally like a guy who knows that he's plummeting at 10,000 feet per second. And
they're screaming, the ground's not coming.
Only three of the people, of the plaintiffs, the others were cut. And we have the texts that show how they were cut. Hey, so sorry. And they just weren't very good at this or that. And our lawsuits are actually going to be backed by facts, by video. You know, these people who keep saying, I read the filings. I know he's guilty. What are you talking about? You read a novel that somebody wrote.
Right.
You can write anything in there.
Yep.
Anyway.
I feel like he says that because he knows that that's what he's doing. He's like, you know, actually, you can just write novels. You can just say anything and some people will believe you. Like, DNA doesn't mean what you think it means. And he thinks that people are probably way more stupid than they are, all the way to the point where he says, like, that these women, they were only like two or three of them were operators. Like, only two or three of them I took on the couple's ruse. First of all, one is too many, Tim. Second of all, he's like, we had to cut them left and right. They were dying to go on missions. He repeats that over and over throughout this video. And I wondered if you wanted to tell the story about a friend of yours, about what the audition process was like. That's also similar to, I believe her name is Mary, who is also a plaintiff in this lawsuit, that talks about the audition process to be a potential operative. It's a lot more of just like making out with Tim in a hotel room.
Yeah, this, after we did our first podcast together, somebody that I went to college with, a good friend of mine that I kind of lost touch with, reached out to me and was like, hey, I saw your interview, auditioning for OER. I got to tell you what happened. And she relayed this story where she and her friend wanted to join OER. They wanted to be part of the cause of saving kids. They're both actresses, and they wanted to use their acting ability to do something good, do something good in the world. And so her friend went first in this audition for the couple's ruse, is what it became, and met Tim in a hotel room. and her audition was making out with Tim on a bed. And Tim asked her at the very beginning, how far would you go to save kids? And then this audition was putting this single woman, this young single woman, in a vulnerable position and see how she would react. And this escalated all the way into the shower. And Tim, in a very short period of time, manipulated this woman into getting in the shower with him. And that was her audition. After my friend heard about that, she didn't want to audition. And I don't blame her. Mm-hmm. But that was told to me directly from somebody that I know, that I've known for a long time. And unfortunately, that is not an uncommon story that we hear coming from from this whole saga.
Especially when Tim has this air about him of like, we're doing so much with saving sex trafficked kids. When you put that at the forefront, like you said, with what would you do to save the kids? He's like, I'll give my life for the kids. Would you? Will you do X, Y, and Z with me now? Mm-hmm. This is what's approved by the Lord or approved by the church. Anything is fair game mm-hmm. that Tim says. Anything is fair game if yep. he fronts it with, what would you do to save the kids?
Yeah, and just for context, this happened at the Grand America Hotel, right down the street from Temple Square, where Tim meets with Elder Ballard on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And so the hypocrisy is, it's disgusting.
Yeah, all right. So the women are getting cut left and right. They're clamoring to get in here. We let them audition, but some of them use too much tongue, some of them not enough tongue, but mostly they all complain to OUR and they make a big fuss for me, Tim Ballard, because I want to be able to do these things without getting complaints. So they're cut. They're cut, as he would say.
I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm about to go bankrupt. I've been smeared. I've been lied about by the good guys. And I'm not stopping. We're doing more operations now than ever before. Truly, follow me. Follow me on Instagram, TimBallard89. Look at all the work we've done. In the last month alone, how many ops have we done? I think 15 or something. I haven't even been able to report on all of them. So all I can do is say,
to quickly add, he just said, he says things and he thinks he's not going to get fact checked. Ha ha. Timmy did what podcast here every week? Keeping you on your toes. He just said that they did 16 operations within the last month. 16. How do you possibly have time for that? Where is the press? Where's the releasing? We're going to get to on the next segment about the one that he claimed is this big one. He's been working for 2.5 years and I looked into it. OUR is not named anywhere. There's no evidence that OUR even worked there. So even the ones he's talking about publicly, there's no connection to. What are the chances that he's really doing 16 child sex slavery operations per month? I think that is the type of propaganda and marketing that he does. But furthermore, that he also says in another segment on this thing that they cost between $30,000 and like $150,000 to do one operation. And I don't know math, but I think he doesn't realize, like, well, you're just spewing out numbers that sound impressive, but like, you don't have the evidence to back this up. You're just kind of, you know, putting up this pompous, inflated ego that this, you know, audience over here is going to love. But thanks for recording that for us, Tim.
All the numbers that they claim need to be looked at with a high level of suspicion, because to technically claim that they performed an operation, all his organization needs to do is to provide a little bit of funding for dog food for dogs that were on a police task force that then rescue kids. Like an example like that. By doing that, by buying the dog food for the dog or providing the dogs in one instance that I've read about, they can then claim anything that that task force that the police did is, you know, score on their books and that they've saved those kids. And so it's very misleading.
Very misleading.
Very misleading. And I'm not here to say that no good has ever been done by Tim or OUR. Some good has been done, but the numbers and the testimonies of those that were in the operations, and we're going to get to some of those testimonies, like David Lopez, who talked to the Davis County investigator attorney, paint a very different picture of those numbers and those claims, and we'll get to that.
I don't know why this is happening, but it's not going to stop me. We're gonna continue rescuing kids. We're doing it at a rate faster than I ever have in my life. We're getting support, and it's really sick. At the end of the day, these women.
I have to add in the jokes. It just sounds like a guy after his divorce when his like a high school reunion where he's like, oh yeah, I'm crushing it. I'm getting more chicks than I've ever gotten before. I just had like my fifth shot, but I absolutely, the women love me. They love the way I slur my words. They love the way that my face is all red and I'm hot and puffy and I talk over everybody around me. I'm absolutely crushing it with the ladies right now. Can't keep them away from me. I'm just like, stop it. I'm just too popular. That's the attitude that he has. It's a man in free fall. Moving into my mansion and I'm dating a supermodel. That is the air that I have about Tim Ballard.
Yeah, I mean he spins his specific position into something better than it actually is. And I knew him when he was working for the Department of Homeland Security, and he would fundraise and try and start OER under the pretense that I can save more kids and do more good outside the government than working for DHS. And we're talking about, okay, one guy is going to go out on his own and try and rescue kids and going to leave behind all of the resources, the funding, the legal immunities, the law enforcement connections, the diplomatic connections that the federal government of the United States has, that he had at his disposal. He's going to leave all that behind because he can do more by himself. Like, that claim at the time seemed kind of preposterous, but that's what he was claiming there. And now he's upping the ante again by saying, all right, OER, my own organization, forced me out, but that's okay because I'm going to be doing even more now and I'm crushing it. Like you said, it's weird
Steve
distortion.
Martin and the Jerk, where he's like, I'm taking this, I'm taking the chair. You know that movie? And he's just like, this is going with me too. And he just like has like his belongings. He's like, I'll be fine. I'm doing great. Tim, it's very obvious from this video that your lawyers asked you to immediately remove that this is a man flailing in free fall, that this is this video that we're going to be going through a lot of different segments. It is probably the best gift that like the women, the lawyers, potential donors to OER need to see Tim Ballard in his truest form right now, drunk with his hands on his phone and hopefully nowhere else.
And let me add to that. You completely lost my train of thought.
Kara did what?
Everybody that loves and even hates Tim Ballard wants kids to be saved. We want him to be very successful. We would love it if every month he saved 200 kids. It has become apparent that those claims aren't true and that in fact, he's doing more harm by my analysis and by many others to the cause of human trafficking by putting out these fraudulent claims in the public, by doing all these devious things behind closed doors, and then really tainting. And people that I've talked to firsthand that were part of fundraising for OUR and connecting OUR with all the donors, they are afraid that he has set back the cause of human trafficking and child sex slavery by decades. It's going to take possibly a generation to forget about Tim Ballard and the devastation that he's caused because he's been fraudulent and claims things that aren't happening. Nobody trusts anybody, and everybody looks at everybody in this space, fundraisers, actual operators, established organizations that have been combating human trafficking for decades with suspicion now. Like, it's helpful.
That is really important information to get out there. So he has nothing but disrespect for any kind of person who's pretty much ever worked for him. He's always on the lookout for people who are going to betray him. It's a big theme that comes up. No, by criticizing him in any way, shape, or form, complaining about the things that have evidence to support these really serious allegations of women and men who have worked for him and been assaulted by him, anything coming out like that is, you don't like saving sex trafficked kids. You work for the traffickers. You are the traffickers. Anything can be thrown at people, and this is another heinous accusation about the lawyers and the former operators that Tim decided to go ahead and say in this clip.
It's really sick. At the end of the day, these women and Rasmussen and Morrison will be known as at best, accomplices to child trafficking. But when all the truth comes out, and they're going to have to live with that. And this is all.
So the lawyers and the women are going to be accomplices to child trafficking. And if you just look at the way he stares in the camera, he's like, he just loves spewing this and saying it because his ego is so bruised and he knows deep down that he's been caught and he's screwed. So he's just like, what is the most inflammatory things that I can say that I wouldn't be saying this if I didn't like deep down know it's true and I need to like pound my fist and let the audience know. Those are extremely serious, disgusting words to say about these lawyers and the women just trying to get justice for the crimes that are committed against them.
And accusing somebody of being an accomplice to such an awful thing to happen to a child.
He throws it around.
Well, he's been doing that for this whole time.
Side of accomplice to sex trafficking. And yeah, thank you so much, sweetie.
50 cents. He categorizes anybody that's a supporter of his as a good guy, and anybody that does anything to disrupt his program is a pedophile or is working for the pedophiles. And that's what's been so offensive to so many people, especially the women, is to be accused of being pedophiles and support of pedophiles. I mean, these are women that joined OUR because they had a passion for saving kids. They wanted to help this problem. And then their boss and their leader, who by their testimony trafficked and used them for sex, is now accusing them of being a pedophile because they're preventing him from actually saving kids. Like, it's flipping the tables, flipping the world upside down. And it couldn't be more offensive. And especially to people that had already dedicated their lives and their time and years to actually helping children to be called that. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. And such disrespect. That's like, you could just say nothing. Also, Tim, it's just so disrespectful. Even if he doesn't even want to look it in the mirror at what he's done, alleged to have done to these women, still just keep your mouth shut. Just like, it is, I think, the moral and the kind thing to do, no matter what's going on, to just not say such horrendous things, turn on a camera and say such horrendous things.
Because other reputable organizations have come out and denounced OUR's tactics of going into a city and claiming and saying as undercover, you know, tourists looking for children to be trafficked.
That's a good point.
As creating a market in those places. And there's actual operators on record that have come back and said, I think we're doing more harm than good, because by going around these tourist cities in Central and South America and asking if anybody has kids that they could exploit, that is creating a market in places they felt that there wasn't a market for.
God's children are not for sale, but if we need to make a movie or we want to go like take our new couples ruse partner down there and we just need like some action, we could throw around some money, we can film something, we can claim to do cool things that we didn't actually do. God's children are not for sale, but only when it's convenient for Tim Ballard and OUR, regardless of making a market for the thing that they are there to solve. That's really sick and twisted. So the claiming that the lawyers and the women are accomplices to trafficking, and he speaks in such direct, emphatic terms that like when they die, like they're going to have to see the faces of all the children that they could have rescued, but they didn't. Like, he goes on and on.
So I see a lot of desperation in that, and let that simmer for a bit. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we provided some context.
Ryan, for the next podcast and the next segment, I have something that I have to tell you. Come here. Okay.
Timmy did what?
You have to find out next time on another episode of Timmy Did What?